Well, thank you, Pastor. Certainly, it is a joy to be here. And we trust that in the time that we're together, that we can magnify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's my heart's desire, is to lift Him up. And when we talk about prayer, we're talking about our communion with our Heavenly Father. And it's a marvelous, marvelous privilege we have of being able to come into the very throne room of God and bring our petitions before Him and know that He hears. He hears our prayers. And know that He has an answer. He has an answer. And I trust that in these days that we are together, that some of the things that I share will be a blessing to you, bear out the truth that God answers prayer. He has a timetable that isn't our timetable. And He has a way that's not our way. You know, the Word says that God works in mysterious ways, His wonders to perform, you know. And isn't that true? It is very, very true. And so I'd like for us to go to prayer at this time, and then we'll move on. Father, we thank You for Your presence. Thank You for Your love to us. We thank You, Lord, that You're a compassionate God. We're thankful that You're merciful. You're gracious and You're kind. You're tender towards us at all times. And we thank You, Father, that we can trust this, know this, have confidence in it. That we are Your children, loved by You, guided by You, and filled with You. And so, Father, these hours that we have together, we pray that we will be sensitive to Your Holy Spirit that speaks to our hearts. Be open to the leadership of Your Spirit and allow You to have Your perfect way. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Over in the book of Ephesians, a very familiar portion of Scripture in the 6th chapter of Ephesians, starting with the 11th verse through the 18th verse, it talks about the armor that we should put on. Be prepared for living in this world and being examples for the Lord. We are God's ambassadors. Isn't that a privilege? To be an ambassador of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Tremendous. So let's look at this portion of Scripture. The 11th verse, 6th chapter of Ephesians says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take on you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, taking all, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Well, that's a lot, isn't it? That's a pretty heavy load, could you say? And it has to be God that does it. It has to be God that does it. You know, the pastor mentioned our time in the work of the Lord these years. And certainly we have learned a lot of things. Can't help but learn some things in that many years of time. But one of the things, foundational things I've learned is this. It's God and God alone and God and nothing else. It is God. It's not us. It's not our ability. It's not our wisdom, shall we say, because we like to think that. You know, we kind of like to think we're really smart. You know, we are really smart. Well, I want to tell you something. You aren't all that smart. And it's we've worked a lot with tribal people. And I'll tell you one thing the tribal people will do is they'll convince you that you're not all that smart. Because they'll tell you, you know, when you're trying to learn their language, they'll say, "We don't understand you. Our little kids can speak the language. Why are you having so much trouble?" You know? And then they go on to tell us why and all this, that, and the other thing. And it's true. Their little kids do speak it better than we do. And when we do learn it, we still don't speak it better than the little kids do. But it's God that's working in and through all of those things. And so when we're going through this life, it's very important that we need to rely on Him. And that's why prayer is so important. And I'd like to mention some things before we get too far along in all this in regards to prayer. First of all, position is not that important. You don't have to get on your knees to pray. If you get in a real tight situation, you'll know you don't have to get on your knees and pray. Venezuela, one time we got caught in the middle of an Indian war, and the arrows were flying all around us and hitting the ground in front of us and going over the back of us. And I want to tell you, folks, I was standing up, but I was doing a whole lot of praying. And not only that, but when it came time to run, I did a whole lot of running. And so that showed me that in any position, God is hearing. And sometimes we get to thinking that, well, we have to be in a certain kind of a position, you know. If we're not in that kind of a position, well, we aren't being heard, or we put ourselves in some kind of a bondage about, well, we have to get up at a certain time of day, you know, and we have to pray for so long, and then we have to have a prayer list and put all these people's names on this prayer list, and we have to very diligently pray for all these folks. And you know what that does? That puts us under a legalism and a bondage that's enslaving. We don't have the liberty that God would have us to have. So one of the things I've learned over the years in my walk with the Lord is to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Because remember, God has come to dwell within you. What's it say in Colossians 2:27? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's God in you. Every one of us that know Him and call Him Father have Him residing in us, and His Spirit guides us and directs us so that we are sensitive to the leadership of the Spirit. And so we start our day in prayer, and we go to bed in the evening in prayer, and God brings people into our hearts, and we begin to pray for them. And it's really a marvelous thing how this takes place. Now, I don't want you to think I'm a fanatic, okay? But I do find myself praying all the time. I'll even wake up at night praying. I'll go to bed at night, and I'll be talking to the Lord. And I say this to the glory of the Father, not to lift up myself, but I believe I could say, sincerely say, that I stay in an attitude of prayer at all times. And that hasn't happened overnight. It's happened over a period of time. Because I found that I needed to be before God in prayer all the time. All the time. And as we go on in this conference, we're going to share some things with you, testimonies that bear out the importance of being before the Lord in prayer. You know, the title of this message is The Force That Shapes the World. And it is very, very true. It's our communion with the Heavenly Father. It's our relationship to Him that we keep open. And as the writer of the Ephesians letter said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In the Spirit. And in any situation that you're in. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. In the Spirit. I was traveling in England and we were on the underground, and I kind of made it a point to talk to everyone I could about the Lord. And thank God, I give the glory to the Lord. That's been my life from the time that I turned my life over to the Lord. And when I was in the Air Force, to share Christ with people. To share Christ with people. And just allow the Spirit of God to lead me in that. Don't have any particular plan or route. Don't go the Roman road. Just go as the Holy Spirit of God leads. So I'm on the underground, sitting on the train, and there's a lady across from us, and I begin to talk to her about the Lord. And as I'm talking to her about the Lord, I could sense that she was no more interested in what I was talking about. I mean, it wasn't important at all as far as she's concerned. So I'm praying. I'm saying, Lord, how can I share with this lady so that she will listen? And God just spoke to my heart and said, mention the calendar. She believes that this is a fairy tale. And I never had this happen before or since. So I asked this lady, I said, ma'am, I said, you believe this is a fairy tale, don't you? She said, yes, I do. I really do. It's just a contrived story. I said, well, it must have been real because you notice that the calendar is dated from the time of Christ. She looked at me and she said, you know, you're right. She said, I never had thought of that before. I said, well, then there must be something real to that, isn't there? And she said, yeah, I believe that there is. I believe there is. I said, well, have you ever read the Bible? She says, no. Do you have a Bible? No. But she said, I'm going to get one. She said, I'm going to get a Bible and I'm going to start reading that Bible. She said, I'm going to learn about this thing. I said, boy, inside I'm saying, praise God, you know. This was the Lord working to touch that lady's life. And so it is in your life and mine as we go on in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're praying always with all prayer. So if you want to jot that down, praying always. And don't let the enemy rob from you the importance of praying always, because he will. He'll try to make you feel like you're a fanatic or a radical, or if you mention it to people, they'll look at you kind of funny. But let me encourage you this way. They aren't the ones that's taking you to heaven. And they're not the ones that's looking after your soul. It's your Heavenly Father. And He is your Father. What does it say in 1 John 3:1? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. So He is our Father. And I'll tell you something about Him. He's a lot more loving and a lot more compassionate and a lot more concerned than what some make us think. He's a lot more gracious. And He gives you all manners of room. You believe that? Boy, take it from a guy that has messed up so many times, but God has always been there. Always been there. Lift us up. Praise His name. Well, to go on, one of the things we learn is God's great work is carried on through prayer. And over in Colossians, the first chapter of Colossians, in the the ninth verse, Paul started his letters to the churches, encouraging them and admonishing them and sharing with them the importance of prayer. Only one, and that was the book of Galatians, and he was getting to some theological points that he felt needed to be taken care of. But in the others, he shows God's great love and God's great compassion and God's great concern. God's concern for you. Boy, I hope you really get a grip on that. He says in the first chapter, ninth verse, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. And to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Isn't that a great thing that Paul prayed that for the church there, and we can pray that for one another today. You know? That we might be filled with the knowledge of His will. How can we be filled with the knowledge of His will? Be sensitive to the leadership of the Spirit. Be sensitive. I'm going to emphasize that all the time we're together. Be sensitive to the leadership of His Spirit. God in you. God in you. Remember this one thing. The devil will never tell you to share the love of Christ. And the devil will never tell you to give to the cause of Christ. And the devil will never tell you to give your life for the glory of Christ. Okay? Now why am I saying that? Because people get all hung up over those things. Well, I wonder if this is God. You can write it in your book if you will. It is God. If God's telling you to give to a certain thing, you do it. Because He's got payback like you have never, ever, ever seen before. I mean, real payback. In many, many ways. All manners of ways. So remember that. Be filled with the knowledge of His will. In all wisdom, godly wisdom, God gives wisdom. He gives wisdom. And spiritual understanding. As you read the Word of God and you get into that Word, you're praying for God to give you the understanding of the Word, and He will enlighten you and He'll give you wisdom. And you, some of you young people, He'll give you wisdom and understanding that far surpasses your years in this life. Folks will say, well, how did they get a grip on that? Their father gave it to them. Why did He give it to them? Because He loves them and He wants to use them and He wants their life to magnify the King. Amen. That's powerful. It almost makes this, do you mind me saying this, this Baptist heart want to shout. It's just marvelous what He does. Filled with the knowledge of His will. That you might walk worthy of the Lord. that you might walk worthy of the Lord. Another reason for praying is your life glorifying Christ in your walk. Do you have a Jesus sign on the back of your car and drive like a heathen? Story told of a lady that policeman drove up behind her, and he arrested her because of the way she was acting in traffic. And so she said to him, she said, "Well, didn't you see that Jesus symbol on the back of my car?" He said, "Oh, yeah, I saw that." But he said, "I thought you stole the car." We don't want that kind of testimony, do we? No. Wouldn't it be better to be said that he was a softy, or that you're a lady that you kind of easily push over, than to be a grump and a gripe? That's where the rubber meets the road. A spirit of humility. That's where prayer comes in. Someone cuts in line. Boy, in Colombia, the Colombians would cut in line all the time. I mean, all the time. You'd be in line, you know. You'd be next to put your ticket up there to get checked in to fly back or wherever you were going. And some Colombian come right along and jump right in front of you like this. Well, something inside of me would say, "Boy, oh boy, I want to tell you something. I'm going to get you, you know." Then the Lord would say, "Now, wait a minute, Ron. Is that a good testimony?" And like a little kid, you know, I just, "No, Father, that's not a good testimony." "Well, let him go. I'm going to take care of you. There's going to be plenty of seats on the plane. Don't worry about it. Not only that, but I might have somebody I want you to talk to. So, let him go." Walking worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. Remember, I mentioned it's Him and Him alone. It's according to His glorious power. He's doing it. And all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers. Listen to this. We're going to be inheritors in the blessings of the Lord. Not only in the world to come, but right here. Right here. Right now. It says, let's read that again. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. In this world and in the world to come. Marvelous, marvelous truth. Our prayers, they do shape the world. They do impact even the unsaved. You know, we have been put out of New Tribes Mission, been put out of the country of Venezuela. And we can not go into the interior. They don't want us to go into the tribes. I don't know why Chavez feels the way he does, but he's got some thinking that he thinks that we're going to go in there and do subversive work or something, not realizing all the things we have done. But you know, I have a friend of mine, a dear friend. In fact, he and I were in a mission conference just a couple of weeks ago in Alabama. And he works with the Iguana Indians in a place called Caño Iguana, which means stream of the lizard. And it's a very, very, very isolated place. The only way we could get in there was by air. You could go in by boat, but you travel about 3 days by boat, and then you'd hike through the forest for about four. And it was very, very tough going. And so we put an airstrip in there. Well, when they put us out of that area of Venezuela, We became real concerned about the Iwana Indians. Steve Bovey that worked there. Real concerned about the needs of these Indians. They were just beginning to see a church established. He had translated the Word of God, the New Testament, into the Iwana language. And he was still working on parts of the book of Colossians, in fact. And he wanted to get more work done. One of our fellows that was born and raised in Venezuela got all of his ratings in Venezuela for flying, became a pilot with New Tribes Mission. And then he went with MAF to fly in Ecuador. Got a real burden for Venezuela, so he left mission work, moved back to Venezuela, found out that there was a rancher in the area that needed a pilot, got hired on by that rancher, and the rancher told him, he said, I want you to fly the beef out of this valley to Caracas or Cartagena or wherever. But he said, I want you to know that you got freedom to fly into any village you want to fly into. You can use my airplane. And you being a Venezuelan, flying a Venezuelan registered airplane, hired by a Venezuelan, have liberty to go anywhere in the territory you want to go. And you know what? He's flown in there, brought the Indians out, and the translation work is still going on. And the rancher that gave him permission for this is an unsaved Catholic man. But he said, boy, it just touches me when I think about it. He said, I want those people to have the Bible. Is that God? Is that our Father? Is he answering prayer? I believe he is. I believe he is. I'm trusting God for Chavez to get saved. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I'd love to hear that Hugo Chavez accepted Christ as a Savior. That would be wonderful news to me. Wonderful news. We have a wonderful Lord works on our behalf. Over in the book of 2 Corinthians, let's turn over there if you will. We're working together with our Heavenly Father. Working together. Sixth chapter of 2 Corinthians, first verse. It says, we then as workers together with him beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. But in all things approved ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, and necessities, and distresses. Because we're Christians and in the work of Christ doesn't mean that we're going to be exempt from difficulties. Doesn't mean that everything is going to go great. What it means is God's our Father in control of the situation we're in, and he's going to take care of us. He's going to take care of us. And he will. He will take care of us. And I think sometimes we feel that because we're Christians that we're not going to have the difficulties that others are having, and that we're not going to have financial difficulties, or we're not going to have physical difficulties, or we're not going to have difficulties with our children. Because those things happen doesn't mean that you're not where the Lord wants you. doesn't mean that God's hand is still on you. Doesn't mean that God's not working, because He is. He's just allowing you to go through some kind of a pathway that is not pleasant. We don't like those things. You know, my granddaughter came down with cancer about 2.5 years ago. And she had cancer in her leg and her knee, and she had 8 tumors in her lung. And the doctor said, we don't expect her to live. But we kept praying. We kept believing. Marianne has been sent home and told that we're not going to say she's cured, but we're definitely going to say it's in remission. She can walk. They were going to remove her leg from just above her knee. But when the doctor got in there, it was a lady doctor. She came out. We were sitting in the waiting room. And she came out and she says, you know, I'm not going to have to remove your granddaughter's leg. She said, I believe we can save it. And we can give her an artificial knee and put extensions up into the upper bone, the lower bone. She may have trouble walking, but we won't have to remove her knee. Well, she was at my house the other day, and my grandson has a motorcycle. Now, that wasn't my idea. But my son bought one of these little motorcycles. And guess who was on the motorcycle running all around the back field back out there? Marianne. Boy, she was having a big time. Sure, her leg was stiff and she had to stick it out like this, but she didn't let her hold her up. Boy, she's going on that motorcycle. And I'll tell you something. We were in the house, and Uncle Ron, that's what the students used to call me at the training institute, Uncle Ron had tears in his eyes knowing that our Heavenly Father had a plan. Had a plan. And He always has a plan. And if He had taken Marianne to be with Him, we knew that she was going to be in His presence, because Grandma had an opportunity to lead her to the Lord. See, God has a plan. And what He wants us to do is trust Him in the midst of the storm. Trust Him. Look to Him, no matter what the circumstances may be. Remember, God is on the throne. He works in mysterious ways, His wonders to perform. Who would have ever thought of putting someone in prison would have brought a revival to Philippi? But that's the way our Father works. He still works that way. And it's marvelous to know that we serve a God like that. And so that's why prayer is so important. And that's why praying always, without ceasing, is so important. And that's why keeping that communication open to our Heavenly Father in all situations is so very, very important. Because He knows, He cares, and He wants us to work in tandem with Him. And we'll get into this later. But remember Moses? Moses became the intercessor for the children of Israel. And God moved because he prayed. And that is a godly principle. Children of God, and we are. I love that, don't you? Children of God? Well, I like that part. Children of God, sons of God, ladies, daughters of God. He cares. I love that. He cares. He's concerned. And remember, He has a divine timetable. Let's pray. Father, we love You this morning. We thank You for Your love to us. You're a loving God, a gracious God, a merciful God, a compassionate God. And we thank you, Father, that everything that comes into our lives has come through your hand. You have allowed it. Because your plan is far better than ours. Your ways are far above our ways. And so we just thank you, Lord, that you give us the privilege of praying and working together with you to reach a world for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to lift up and encourage and strengthen your children. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen.